Hello, and welcome to COVID Conversations. In this episode, I'm joined by Dr. Danielle Goujon. Danielle specializes in women in politics, feminist theory, reproductive politics, and interest groups. Her research focuses on feminist organizations' responses to new challenges in reproductive politics in the contemporary U.S. setting. Today, Danielle and I discuss the effects of the pandemic on women specifically. Hi, Danielle.
Hello, Anne, and thanks for having me. I think it's really important to talk about the impact that COVID is having on women. As we've seen with other epidemics and disasters, the most vulnerable in society are often impacted the most. So it's really important to think about how COVID is particularly impacting women, given that we have existing gender inequalities that may be even further exacerbated by the pandemic. One area where women are really feeling the negative impact of the pandemic is economically. Women were already in pretty bad shape prior to the pandemic. We know women make up about two-thirds of minimum wage workers in the U.S., which in most states is not what is needed to provide a living wage. And the majority of these low-wage jobs don't provide paid sick days, family, or medical leave, or offer any kind of health care. So that's leaving millions of women and their families without coverage or access to care when they need it the most. Then there's the problem of the long-standing gender pay gap, where women make less money when they work to begin with, compared to men across the board. Women of color are even more vulnerable because of employment discrimination and an even worse gender pay gap. So when you factor in race, and we take a look at the numbers, the pay gap for women gets even worse when Black women earn about 21% less than white women, Latinx women make about 30% less than white women, and 50% less than white men. And we know that Latinx women have been disproportionately impacted with high unemployment rates during this time, with one in five being out of work. So women went into this pandemic making less money to begin with, and now that problem is being even more compounded because they're losing their jobs at higher rates. So women bear the brunt of coronavirus job losses, with about 55% of them accounting for the increase in job losses just in April. So unemployment is such a problem right now that this recession is being called a she-cession. That's in contrast to the 2008 recession that had more of an impact on men's employment and where women fared better because the recession hit the manufacturing sector. One cause of the she-cession and this disproportionate effect on women is that the sectors that are being hit the worst with the COVID-19 economic disruption are those with high female unemployment. So think about industries like the hospitality industry, retail, service, and in those sectors, we have restaurants and hotels and women in positions like service staff, hairdressers, domestic workers, cleaning people, receptionists, flight attendants. All of those critical jobs are being impacted, and those people have been either unemployed or furloughed because of the economic shutdown. Now, we think that this problem is going to be long-term, that this job loss will be long-term. And a study just out by the University of Chicago and Stanford estimates that 40% of the jobs lost will not return. So again, we should be looking out and see that this will have probably an additional disproportionate effect on women.
So that economic overview you present, Danielle, really does give us a sense of ways in which women are going to suffer more greatly during the pandemic because of existing inequalities and problems. Another area where we've heard about women having to do more work, a disproportionate number of work, is in care work. And I was wondering if you could just give us a little bit of background on that next.
There's already an unequal distribution of care work between men and women in heterosexual households during normal times. Women bear the responsibility for household and family care due to social norms and perform the majority of childcare in the home. Even when both parents work full-time, women are more likely than men to manage schedules, activities, and take care of kids when they get sick. Now with the closure of schools and childcare facilities, it is women who are most likely bearing the brunt of childcare, with the added responsibility of homeschooling or remote teaching their children. This is in addition to women trying to figure out how to get their own work done. If they are able to work from home, they still have to be able to tend from their jobs. And again, this is assuming that these women have the privilege of working remotely, because a recent study found that less than 20% of the jobs that women hold are actually telecommuting friendly. If women are lucky enough to have a partner at home, perhaps he or she could help with tending to the children and teaching them. But even in that case, a recent survey of heterosexual families found that even when men think they are helping with 50% of homeschooling, the same women in that survey reported that it was more like 3%. So there's a lot of discrepancy between perception and reality in terms of gender roles within the household around childcare. The childcare situation for women during COVID gets even worse if they are single parents, and about 60 million women are single moms in the U.S., or if they have to work outside of the home because, again, their jobs are ones that can only be done remotely. Here we find childcare becomes an even bigger issue because schools and daycares are closed, and now alternate family arrangements like relying on grandparents, cousins, aunts and uncles, and even community options that women often rely upon to piece together childcare under normal circumstances aren't even an option because of social distancing guidelines. So COVID in reality has presented some pretty big challenges to women. But then I wanted to take a minute to talk about perhaps some of the positive things that might come out of this horrible pandemic. One thing that I think is really interesting is that the problem of childcare, because it has been an ongoing problem, it's largely the quality is questionable of most childcare. It's super expensive. There's not a lot of options available for women. And now this problem is front and center and very visible in ways that it wasn't before. We see colleagues caring for their children during meetings. You can see them on the nightly TV comedy shows or even during newscasts where you see children popping into view during TV interviews in the background. And people are talking on social media about the challenges of working and having children around all of the time. We also are hearing a lot in the news and the media about the economy opening back up. But the economy can't open back up without dealing with the question of who is going to take care of the kids. And it's becoming more and more clear that school is not just there for educational purposes, but also there for childcare purposes. And that's not a good way of dealing with it. It's not a good kind of policy position to just have childcare options related back to schooling. So COVID really highlights how critical having childcare is, not just for families, but for the economy. And it's my hope that perhaps this problem will eventually be addressed, or, you know, finally, we should say, be addressed. I also hope that the COVID pandemic will lead to more flexible workplace options for families and for people in terms of work-life balance. I know that there are some businesses talking about remote work as being the new norm for them, even when things go back to or become post-COVID, and that there's really a change in business culture that accommodates the needs of all kinds of families and care situations, because whether or not you have small children or older children or no children, at some point we are all caring for somebody in our family. And even kind of a larger project that I hope comes out of this is to more attention and changes to gender roles around care work. I saw an interesting article that talked about families that are experiencing gender role reversals. Again, this was heterosexual families. One study by Turlett found that about 10% of heterosexual couples are currently experiencing reverse gender roles because women in the family are essential workers, and then the man in the family is the one working from home. So it'll be interesting to see if we can figure out what's happening in those spaces and how that might impact or help to foster some more gender role changes moving forward. And then finally, I hope that we are better able to incorporate gender, race, and class into our policy responses. Because the virus is not gender blind, the response to it should not be either. As Kimberly Crenshaw, who does a lot of really interesting work on intersectionality, points out, when our government policies are completely void of any gender or racial consciousness, they're bad ones. And we can see that happening now. We need to really take into account how people are positioned structurally within our societies based on these identities, these factors, and to create policies that account for how these major challenges, these epidemics, these pandemics, disasters, all of these structural challenges, social challenges that come our way, how they really exacerbate these inequalities. And so our policies can't be blind to those things. And if we want to kind of get it right moving forward, we need to take gender, race, class, all of those things into account. So I hope that this was a little bit of a view into some of the things that I've been thinking about in terms of how COVID is impacting women and how gender is functioning within this moment of a pandemic, a worldwide pandemic. There's so much more to talk about, even on the global front, which we didn't have time to get to. But I hope that this was a little bit of a glimpse into how women are faring within this really kind of challenging moment. Thanks so much for having me, Anne.
Thanks for joining me, Danielle, and shedding some important light on how women have been affected by the pandemic. That's all for today's episode. Looking forward to seeing you back next week for episode 6 as we wrap up our COVID conversation series.